Love you, Brother Andre. Thank you. Praise God. It's good to be in God's house. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes it closes my notes, so thank you for standing. It is good to be back here in the house of the Lord. I am so thankful for this day, for this opportunity. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. If you would open your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. We're going to read this story, and we'll come back to this, amen, throughout this time. Amen. Pastor had preached a couple of weeks ago, victory, the victory is in the vision. Amen. And that's a great message. And if you haven't heard it, download the app, go on there, listen to it. Amen. It goes hand in hand with this. I hope to dovetail and kind of give some practical direction on how we should approach the Lord and how we should obtain our sight today. Amen. The purpose being is to encourage you today and just encourage you to, if you haven't started walking with the Lord, to walk with the Lord. And if you're already walking with the Lord, keep walking with the Lord. Walk in the light. Amen. Walk in the light. And when you're led by Jesus and you trust Him, your vision will become clear. Amen. Praise God. Mark chapter 8, verse 22 says, "And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring him a blind, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that, he put his hands up again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly." Amen. This morning I want to speak to you just for a little while on I can see clearly now. Amen. I can see clearly now. Praise the Lord. Somebody should write a song about that. There is a song. Oh, okay. Let's pray. Let's pray. Jesus, bless us, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Lord Jesus, I can't say of myself, Lord, I want to speak of your word, God. I want to be anointed by you. Lord, use us today, God, for your glory, Jesus. Anoint our ears, Lord God. Anoint our hearts, Lord Jesus. And bless us, God, to see clearly. Amen. Again. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. I wanted to get into this, and I know it's four short verses, but there's something so profound in this. And as Pastor was speaking last week, and I was looking at these different blind men that had approached Jesus or had come to Jesus and had their eyesight completely restored, this just really stuck out to me. And I just saw this progression. I saw these stages or parts of this. And I noticed at least seven things about this. And there's probably more, but I can't see them all yet. Praise the Lord. But seven elements or stages to this short story. And each one is an important part of this miracle. My hope is that we'd be able to see clearly what was required for this man to receive sight, so that a parallel can be made in our lives for Jesus to perform a miracle and heal not just physical blindness, but any spiritual blindness that we may have. Because as we speak, I don't know anyone in here that's legally blind. people all the time say, well, you got good eyes. And I say, it's the glasses. Anybody ever have that happen to you? It's the glasses. I'm useless without my glasses. I can't see how many fingers you're holding up or the chart on the wall. I need some aid. So I'm not talking about physical blindness today. I'm talking about something spiritual. And before we just completely dismiss this and say, oh, I'm not physically blind, so this doesn't apply to me. Before we just dismiss this story as not applicable, I want you to consider that it is possible to have eyes and not see. Just practically. Isaiah 43, verse 8, God says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. So, in other words, they're blind not because they have sight, but they're blind in some other way. And they're deaf because, not because they can't hear, but because they can't hear in some other way. So I'm trying to expand your idea here about what blindness can be. But in fact, and Pastor mentioned some of this last couple weeks ago, we have moments of physical blindness at best. And we mentioned can't see your car keys. They're right in front of your eyes. Or can't see the glass. Where's the glasses? They're on your face. Or they're on top of your head. And there can be times that we can't see something no matter how hard we look. You ever see those 3D pictures that they look like a complete mess of, it's like graphics, overlaid graphics, and people, it took me a long time, and people would say, well, you just put the picture up to your face and you pull it away from your face. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Those weird 3D pictures that they put, and now they put them on the phone screen and it's even smaller. It's harder to even see it then. And some of those, I can't see it. And sometimes I'm thinking, they're tricking me. There's nothing there. Right? But I remember as a kid, I was reminded of this just this last week. We went to New Hampshire, and there was a mountain in Nevada called Mummy Mountain. And I remember going camping one year, and people say, Mummy Mountain. I'm like, I don't see a mummy, I just see a bunch of rocks. And I remember one year I was standing at the entrance of a campground right there at the base camp area of Mummy Mountain, and it's where a lot of people would camp and start their trip there, have a base camp and start their trip up the mountain hiking. And I remember the park ranger saying, look up right there, what do you see? And all of a sudden I saw this massive head, and it looked like a human head, and it looked like it was wrapped with like cloth or something. And there's a Mummy Mountain in Colorado, too. And you drive down from, the Great Basin, and all of a sudden in the middle of nowhere, seemingly, there's this big mountain, and it looks like a mummy laid out like that. But I was reminded of that because there's, in New Hampshire, they have the old man in the mountain. And there's looks like a face in the mountain. And so there are some people that they just can't, they're not really capable of abstract thought, and they just can't see that stuff. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That means that they're more practical, There's nothing wrong with being practical. But being able to see things clearly, and my father had for years had told me, Darren, just look right there. Just see the nose and see this. And that. I can't see it. But because of the perspective where I was, I could see, and I had that park ranger saying, look right there. And I just, all of a sudden, my eyes were open and I could see it. So there are things like that, that no matter how hard we look, we just cannot see them. And this, if this is true of physical sight, Think about how much more we could be blinded spiritually. Things as plain as the nose on our face, and we just can't see it. We just don't understand it. This happened a lot in Scripture. When Jesus would speak in parables, the disciples, sometimes even the very close to Jesus, could not understand what He was saying. And they would have to ask Him, "Master, show us what this means." And especially those of the religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they just couldn't get what was being said. It was just completely blind. They were completely blind to it. And I was telling Alyssa, Sister Greeley had read 2 Peter chapter 1, and she put a lot of scriptures in there. And I said, "Alyssa, I had all that in my notes, but I took it out because it's not the main point here. But I do want to point out, just to show you, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, that without all of the things that Sister Greeley read to us, without us growing, without us walking forward, and without us actually progressing in the Lord, and all by His grace, and all by His mercy, without us adding to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge and so on and so forth. We read the whole list. I'm not going to go back through it all. But look at what this says. Now, think of this. Do you think this is talking about physical blindness? "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." Do you think that's speaking of physical blindness? Or is it talking about something spiritual? Yeah, it's spiritual. So in contrast with this world's ways and this world's wisdom, those who walk in the light of truth can see danger afar off. They can see clearly. They can see what's up ahead to a certain extent. We don't see everything. I'd be the first to admit I don't know much. But what I do know is I know a God who knows it all. Amen. I know a God who sees it all. Praise the Lord. I have a God, amen, with me at all times. Amen. Who opens up my understanding and opens up my eyes to that which He wants me to see. And I trust Him completely. Praise the Lord. Those who have Christ can see trouble ahead and are prepared to handle it. Doesn't mean we avoid trouble. Doesn't mean we avoid tragedy or catastrophe. But we are prepared to handle it. We're prepared. We have the wisdom of the Holy Ghost that allows us to navigate through the things, those obstacles that come in our way. I'm telling you, someone should write a song. But those who ignore the voice of God, those who struggle to allow and to trust God, and this is why I want to look at this story today, because I hope it helps us. Those who struggle with the things that I'm about to teach, they just can't see. They're just completely suppressed in darkness. As we were driving home in the night last night, and I was thinking about this message, I could only see just a little bit farther than what was being shown by the street lights, by the lights on the highway. I could barely make out the outline of the trees. Everybody that's driven at night, some people avoid driving at night. Amen, Sister Janie. Some people avoid driving at night because they have something called night blindness, where the lights just splinter out and kind of blind you, and the darkness is just so stark of a contrast that they're afraid that something's going to happen, and so they don't drive. And it's a physical condition. Praise the Lord. But I noticed last night as I was driving in the dark, I just couldn't see afar off. You know, when it's daytime, bright sunshine, you can see the trees, you can see the mountains, you can see all these beautiful things that God has created. When there's light, you can see far away. But when there's darkness, you can only see just beyond, maybe even not even beyond what the headlights show. And so people that ignore the voice of God, people that ignore growing in Christ, people that ignore their relationship with God, people that ignore faithfulness to the house of God, they just can't see beyond. And then something hits them and they, what was that? And they're not prepared. And I don't want any of us today to walk out of this place not being prepared. And you don't have to. Praise the Lord. So this story, let's go back to this story. In Mark chapter 8, verse 22. And the first thing that I saw with this, and he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And the next verse says, and he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. Praise the Lord. But the first thing that I saw here was trust. Trust. Faith is the key to every relationship. It's the key to every relationship between you and others. And it's definitely the key to the relationship between you and God. Trust. It's all built on trust. Every relationship is built on trust. Every contract is built on trust. Every marriage is built on trust. Every interaction that we have with society is built on trust. We trust that others are not going to take advantage of us. We trust that others are going to obey the traffic laws and stop at the red lights. Right? Trust. But look at this. Go back one verse, Brother Tim. Thank you. But look at this. Others led him to Jesus. We don't even know their names. And we don't know the name of the blind man. We have no idea who it was. But they brought him when he could not find his own way. And I'm so thankful that there are people that are praying. Some of you told me this morning, I was praying for you, Brother Darren. I'm so thankful, because prayer works, that there were people praying for me. There have always been people praying for me and bringing me to Jesus when I had no interest in following Him. And I had no idea what Jesus wanted for my life. But there were people praying for me. My parents prayed for me. My sister prayed for me. My brother prayed for me. My pastor prayed for me. They brought me to Jesus when I was out there blind. So thankful for that. Isn't that humbling? That when you were in complete and utter darkness, there were somebody that cared enough about you to bring your name before Jesus. Somebody ought to thank God for that today. Thank God for my family, my friends, and my church that was praying for me. Thank you, Jesus, that when I was blind and lost, and no matter what I do, I couldn't find Him for myself. Someone else brought me to Jesus. You see, it was they, those unknown friends, if you will, who asked Jesus to touch him. He didn't even ask for a healing. They asked for a healing for him. And it does not say that he asked them, or that he asked to be brought to Jesus, or that he ask Jesus for a miracle. It doesn't say any of that. But this indicates to me that you can pray and ask Jesus to touch someone else and He will answer. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers for your family are powerful. Your prayers for your coworkers and your boss are powerful. They don't even know you're praying for them. They have no clue that somebody was on their knees and brought them to Jesus. My boss at work, he's Hindu. He's not praying to Jesus, but I'm taking him to Jesus. I'm praying for him that God would open up his eyes and his understanding. I'm praying for him. At some point, though, and you have to notice this, at some point there has to be a shift from them trusting Jesus to the blind man trusting himself, trusting Jesus. There's got to be a shift. The faith of others, yes, it will help you. I know a lot of times preachers get up and say, you can't, other people's faith isn't going to help you. Yes, it does. Absolutely it does. Otherwise, why would we pray? Why would we pray for our friends and families? And this example shows that yes, of the faith of other people, the faith of you, church, can help other people. Because God wants to answer our prayers. And He wants to intervene. However, and let me make this clear, the faith of someone else will not save you. The faith of others will not save you. The faith of others will not complete the work in your life. In order for God to open your spiritual eyes and clear the way, you must trust. Say, I must trust. Somebody say it. I must trust. I've got to trust God. So the second thing that I saw in this, and it's there in verse 23, is that you've got to hold to Jesus' hand. If you're ever to see, if you're ever to receive a miracle, you must hold on to the hand of the Lord. Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him. He didn't have sight. The blind man, he could have resisted. He could have said, where are you taking me? He could have protested. You're taking me away from my normal life. You're taking me away from my normal routine. He could have pulled his hand away. He could have resisted. He could have said, don't take me away from my normal life. Don't take me away from my home. Don't take me from my comfort zone. But we need to interrupt our normal so that God can perform the impossible. We need to get out of our mundane routines so that God can transform the way we live and the way we walk and the way we talk and the way we see. If we just stay comfortable in where we are and don't hold on to the hand of Jesus, we will not be led out of the place that we're in. We'll just stay there and not grow. The blind man could not see Jesus, but listen, he could hear his voice. He could hear his voice saying, trust me. Trust my word. And trust my hand. We've got to hold on to the hand of Jesus. And I know that I'm talking to a church that has not seen the face of Jesus. Anybody here seen the face of the Lord? Not me. I can't put my hand up. But we have heard His word. And Jesus has been guiding us all along by His voice and by His hand. So we've got to hold on. Somebody say it, hold on. We've got to follow. We need to follow Jesus. That's the third thing I saw. Wherever Jesus leads, I will abandon my way to follow Him. I'm not interested in my own path. I'm interested in His plan for my life. Because my plans are leading to failure. My plans are, they're kind of like a lead balloon every time. Whenever I follow my own plans, it's pretty anticlimactic. God lets me do it. My own plans always lead me to failure. They always lead me to mess up. They always lead me to mistakes. They always lead me to sin. They always lead me to a worse life. But I've got to abandon my own way in order to follow Jesus and follow His voice and hold on to His hand and trust Him. Hallelujah. I can imagine as Jesus led the blind man further possibly than he had ever been in his entire life. The blind man must have known this just by the fact that his other senses would have been telling him that he was in a new place. Think of how fear might have crept into his mind. Questions like, will Jesus leave me here? Or how will I ever get back home? You can think about that. Because I've heard this and it's been medically proven that blind people get like a hypersensitive hearing and their other senses that they do have, their brain kind of augments a little bit. If you ever listen to Matt Yater, if you ever listen to his cell phone, he's got this voice that reads the screen to him and he's got it sped up to like 4 times speed or something. It sounds like a totally different language. But he's listening to it and he can understand it. He can comprehend speech at a very fast pace. And blind people, they can sit there and they can hear things from a distance. They can smell things that maybe we cannot smell. So it's not that they're completely blind in their senses. They just have an amazing ability to point out things. So I can imagine, Pastor, as this blind man's being led by the hand of Jesus, they get to a place where the blind man had not been before. And that's a crucial moment. Because that's the place where you're either going to let fear take over or you're going to let faith lead the way. You're going to make a choice right there. No, don't take me past the block that I live on, because I won't be able to get back. Well, I'm not interested in going back. Are you? I don't want to go back to the way I used to be. I don't want to go back to the things of the world. I want to abandon that way. And I want to follow Jesus. Amen. When Jesus starts to lead you beyond the normal place of comfort, are you going to pull away and go back? Well, most do. Many will go back. Many are afraid of the unknown. Even when Jesus tells you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes it's not enough for people. Say, don't take me where I'm uncomfortable. Don't lead. I'm not going to follow you past my normal circumstances in my normal life. In fact, this is pretty well known in psychology. They've studied people that are addicts or that are abused. And I know that's two totally different areas. But addicted people will pull back to their old ways. Alcoholics will go back to the places that they used to go. We've got to break that cycle. We've got to let Jesus lead us away from those things. The abused, many times abused spouses will find another person that abuses them in almost the same way. It's very interesting. And, you know, many are baffled at that. Like, why would you go back to the same person that keeps on hurting you? Why would you go back to the same? Why would you go back to another person that does the same thing the other person did? And they're more comfortable being abused in the familiar then they are letting Jesus lead them out of the familiar into new territory. Don't let fear take over. The blind man can't see yet. He doesn't know where he's at. But he still has the hand of Jesus, and he still can hear the voice of Jesus. And so he decides to go with Jesus. I'm here to let you know, as someone who has been down some pretty dark roads before, Jesus has never left me alone. He won't fail. So follow him. Somebody say it. I will follow him. Praise the Lord. Now this is where it gets real interesting. But the next thing I saw in here was that the man received something. We could go to that verse. I think it's 23 again. He received something, didn't he? Everybody could look at the screen. And when he had spit, Jesus spit on his eyes and put his hand upon him. He asked him if he saw aught. Interesting method, right? Hey, Jesus, you do everything in righteousness. Everything you do is perfect. That was holy spit, right? It was. There wasn't any bacteria in it. That's the best I can do for an explanation, Brother Matt. I have no clue why Jesus did this. Except that no matter how uncomfortable or inconvenient the method is that Jesus uses in my life, I must receive it in order to receive my sight. I can't run away when it gets uncomfortable. The blind man, remember, hypersensitive hearing. The blind man heard and felt something. I'm not going to do it, Pastor. But we all know the sound of somebody getting spit together, right? You could probably hear it with your mind's eye. It's uncomfortable. Like Jesus is standing right here, brother. I'm not going to spit on you, I promise. You have to tell him. But Jesus is standing right here next to the blind man. And so the blind man had echolocated Jesus, I'm sure. He knew exactly where Jesus was standing. And all of a sudden, he hears that sound, Brother Tony. Get out of the way. Right? It's uncomfortable. Even thinking about it is jarring. But he heard Jesus make that sound. And he felt something just like, you know, connecting the dots. Wait, I just heard him bring all that spit together. And now I hear. And, you know, as a blind beggar, I wonder if people had spit on him before. Oh. I wonder if people said, get out of my way, blind man, spit on him. And Jesus chose that method to start the healing process. That's incredible to me. But it tells me that, you know, this is just like the spiritual equivalent of hearing the truth that God is holy and that you and I are sinners. Somebody say, what? What are you calling me? A liar? What are you calling me? A cheat? What are you calling me? A murderer? What is it you're calling me? You calling me a sinner? You're lumping me in the group with people that, yes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. When you know that He is holy, It's the only hope that you have to get out of the cycle of sin that you live in. When you know that a holy God who cannot stand sin is calling you out of sinfulness, calling you out of that lifestyle. Pastors sometimes will say, I don't mean to step on your toes, but anytime you feel the prick of the conviction of God, when somebody starts talking about sin and they start naming sins and it gets a little bit uncomfortable, it gets to the point where they named the sin that I committed. They named the thing that I lived in. They named the thing that I am locked in right now. I'm bound by that sin. That's uncomfortable. That's a spit in the face. But this is what we've got to face. Because Jesus, you could ask Him why He spit on His eyes. Why would you do that, Jesus? But listen, Jesus touched the blind man in the place that he needed the help the most. In the way that he decided to do it. And I don't want to be comfortable going to hell. And it doesn't matter how bad it makes you feel. The truth will set you free. The truth is the only way out. You've got to face that holy God. And you've got to say, God, I agree that I am a sinner. I agree that I am a worm. I agree that I was the one that nailed you to the cross. If that makes you uncomfortable, then and you want to run out of here, and you don't want to approach the holiness of God, then, my friend, there's no hope of you ever seeing clearly. You can't run away when God makes you uncomfortable. And I know that the longer I spend in this part, the harder it is for you to sit here. But Jesus loves you too much for you to come into His presence and for you to not leave and for you to not leave with your sins, yes, confronted, but also forgiven when you confess them to Him. It's a promise in Scripture in 1 John chapter 1. This then is the message. Verse 5. John 1:5 says, this then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. And we all know that God cannot lie. God will not lie. He is the truth, and He's the truth that will make you free. Jesus wants to address your sins. If you will confess your sins and receive forgiveness, Jesus will give you forgiveness of sins. It's a promise in His Word. Jesus wants to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you'll be baptized in His name and receive remission of sins. Amen. Jesus wants to give you abundant life. If you'll surrender your life to Him in worship, if you'll praise His holy name, then you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. That's the gospel message. Amen. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, it's here today. It's available. It's a gift. It's free. You don't do anything to deserve it. You don't do anything to earn it. Amen. All you've got to do is come on and worship Him and praise Him. Lift your voice to Him. Amen. Make the decision today to follow Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that it's here available today. Can we love Him right now? Praise the Lord. Let's create an atmosphere where the Spirit will move, amen, on our hearts. And Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Somebody say it. Somebody say it. I want to follow Him. I want to follow Him. I want to receive Him. Amen. I want to receive forgiveness. I want to receive remission. And I want to receive the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're almost there. But part five, the fifth thing that I saw was a transformation. Saw a transformation. You know, change is never comfortable. And it doesn't always go my way. But it's something that I'm very thankful for. The blind man was certainly touched, and he began to see a little bit. Verse number, Mark 8:23, it says that Jesus, He put His hands on him, and He asked him if he saw aught. In the next verse, and he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. So something happened. There was a change. And he began to see a little bit. He saw men as trees. So something miraculous happened to him. Many of us have had a relationship with God for a long time. And some of us are new to this. And we haven't known the Lord and the truth for very long. But it's awesome. An awesome thing has occurred. There's been a change. There's been something that's been different about you. And it's awesome that you can see a bit more clearly. And it's awesome that other people notice a change about you. And we rejoice every single time we see Jesus begin to transform a life for the better. Every time you come to church, there's something you can learn. Every time you come, it'll change the way you think. Every time you get into the presence of God, there can be a change for the better. You don't see it all clearly yet. You don't see everything 100% 20/20 vision. But praise God for the transformation. Praise God for what He has done. Praise God that He has made a change in your life. Amen. Can you praise Him right now? Clap your hands to the Lord and give God the praise. You did it, Lord Jesus. You're the one that changed me, God. You're the one that opened my eyes a little bit, Jesus. Thank you, God, for the change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But look, somebody say, thank God for the transformation. But look at this. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. If I'm not honest with God and with myself, the healing cannot be complete. This man could have rejoiced, got excited, and went away right at that moment. I see men as trees. Get all excited. Look, God's changed my life. And just ran away. And just been, he would have settled for that partial healing. For that little vision that he had. For that little transformation that he had. And I see this so, so often. Listen, church. God is not done with me yet. God is not done with Pastor Greeley yet. God is not done with our ministry yet. God is not done with you yet. Amen. Don't take a partial change and a partial healing and not be honest with God about the rest of the change and the rest of the healing that God wants to complete in your life. You know, this guy could have rejoiced, ran away without hearing or answering this question that Jesus asked him. Just content with a partial healing and happy to have a little bit of sight. After all, some sight is better than no sight. It's been said, I know that I'm not yet what I'm supposed to be, but I thank God that I'm not what I used to be. Amen. And we praise the Lord for that. And we thank God for that. But we need to be honest with where we are now. And honest that we are not yet where God wants us to be. Look, I could stand here today and tell you that I have no sin. But we read the Bible and it says that I'd be a liar. I would be deceiving myself. I would be pulling the scales back over my eyes to say, I don't deal with sin anymore. That's just not true. But I do have a greater law than the law of sin and death. And that's the law of the grace of Jesus. Amen. It's a law that shows me the way to live above sin. Amen. To navigate over sin. To leave sin behind. To lay off the weights and the sins that so easily beset me. Amen. The truth is, I still need Jesus to keep working on my heart. I still need Jesus to heal my eyes and my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm still holding on to the hand of the one who is. There's nothing better that you can do for your life than to be honest with yourself and with God. Somebody say, I need to be honest. Amen. You know what that means? That means that when the altar call is given, that means that every single one of us can come to the front and say, God, I'm thankful that I'm not where I used to be. But God, take me to where you want me to be. God, keep working on my heart. God, keep working on my life. Amen. Because there's a complete healing that you want to do, Lord. Every single one of us has something that we can go to the Lord and say, God, touch me. God, help me. It pains me, Pastor, to be up here leading worship, altar call, and just to see people sit back and slip out the back door. And I know that there's things in their life, just by the fact that there's things in my life that I'm dealing with. Amen. I know that there's something that they can bring to the Lord. Amen. If it's not just to be thankful. Amen. Don't go out of the presence of God without being honest with God and letting Him change your heart. We're talking about spiritual blindness here. Say, you can say, well, I see fine. I don't have any sickness. I feel good today. But there's something else that you need to bring to the Lord, and that is your worship and your praise. Amen. The last thing that I see here, verse 24. Verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored. And he saw every man clearly. Amen. We will not know full healing until we see the face of Jesus. And it will be worth it all. It will be worth it all, my friend. Amen. Your whole entire life has led you to the moment that you can see Jesus clearly. Your whole entire life, God's plan for you is to see His face. When He comes back for us, it's God's plan for every life to be saved. Amen. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amen. There is hope for every single person today. Every person in your family. Every person in your job. Every person in your life. Amen. God has a plan for full and complete healing for them. When the blind man could see clearly, it says that he saw every man clearly. The first person that he saw was Jesus. Amen. And that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for that day when I will see Jesus face to face. Thank you, God. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12 says this, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known." Amen. This is the truth, that when we see Jesus' face. Amen. John talked about it in 1 John chapter 3. He said, "Beloved, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when we shall see Him." Amen. Oh, we're going to be changed, church, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to look up and we're going to see the face of Jesus. Amen. And it brings hope to my life. It brings strength to my walk. Amen. It brings love towards God. It brings change, amen, in my life. It brings healing in my life. Hallelujah. Colossians says that we're complete in Him in chapter 2, verse 10. You're complete in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I know that there's going to be some here today and say, "Oh, I'm hopelessly blind and I can't see anything and I don't know how to get out of this mess that I'm in." Well, listen, if you think there's no hope for your blindness, let me tell you that Jesus has healed many that were much worse than you. And He is no respecter of persons. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 22, listen to this. "Then was brought unto Him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And He healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, Is not this the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Jesus, look at how Jesus healed this man. He wasn't just blind, but He was dealing with demonic forces, and He was also deaf. He couldn't even hear the voice of God. And Jesus healed him completely. Hallelujah. But there were some people there that just crossed their arms and just said, "I saw your arms are crossed. I'm not..." I just noticed Brother Chris's arms are crossed. He's over there preaching with me. Amen. It's funny when you're preaching and you say something, you look at somebody, they're doing exactly what you say. Amen. Praise the Lord. But there are those, amen, that'll cross their arms and say, "Oh, Jesus can't heal me. Jesus can't heal you. Jesus can't do this. Jesus can't give you the Holy Ghost. Jesus can't take your sins away. Jesus..." Just stop. Jesus can do it all. He has done it all. And you came too late to tell me, who was spiritually blind and spiritually deaf, amen, and yes, dealing with demonic things, amen, that He can't do it. Because He can and He will. Amen. He is able to do exceedingly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Hallelujah. Jesus loves to open blinded eyes. Jesus loves to heal. Jesus loves to unstop the deaf ears. Amen. Jesus loves to open the eyes of your heart. Amen. But here I want to, I'm coming to a close. But here I want to make a clear distinction between the way that the Pharisees reacted to healing and the way that we ought to react to it. All right? There's a clear difference between spiritual sight, because spiritual sight is consequential. It does matter. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Amen. There's an economist named Thomas Sowell. If you haven't looked him up, look him up on YouTube. He's written a whole bunch of books on intellect and knowledge and everything. But he's got this concept of consequential knowledge. And I've mentioned this before. It's a part of his critique to those naysayers and those doubters and the intellectuals that they just criticize everything. He's got a book called Knowledge and Decisions. And consequential knowledge is defined, we're talking about seeing clearly. It's defined as knowledge whose presence or absence has serious direct consequences. Consequential knowledge is practical and it's direct. Consequential knowledge is a result of real world experience and has immediate implications. For instance, a pilot knowing how to lower landing gear is a classic example. He knows how to do it, but failing to do so has direct and catastrophic consequences. So you can know about Jesus, and you can know about how He can heal you. And you can leave here saying, "I'm checking this box. I know that He can do it." But you don't respond. My friend, that's consequential knowledge. It's knowledge that would change the outcome if you reacted differently. If you think about this example, the pilot, he may know that he needs to put down the landing gear. But because he literally cannot see the bottom of the plane, and he goes to land, he needs the air traffic controller to radio him and let him know, hey, captain, you need to lower your landing gear. Pull up. You're going to crash that plane. And I'm here to tell you today that everything that I've been saying from the Word of God has it's consequential. It has immediate ramifications. You need to respond to this. Because you are here in the presence of a God who can open your eyes to see clearly. And before you walk away and say, "I don't need to do any of that stuff. I don't need to hold. I don't need to have faith. Before you do any of that stuff, don't cross your arms like the Pharisees. Because there's a difference when you respond to the presence of God and come and worship and praise Him. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in His name. Receive His Spirit. It will change your life." Praise God. This type of knowledge cannot be found in the Library of Congress. It can't be stored in the vaults of academia. You can't get a degree in it. It's about what we do in life situations where we do not need a blind guide like the Pharisees, but we need God who sees and knows all to open our eyes to what we need to see. Amen. All of us has faced critical decisions in our life. Amen. And if you haven't, it's coming. There are decisions you're going to make that you're going to wish that you knew more. If I just knew a little bit more. If I could have just had a little bit more insight. I would have acted differently. If only I knew about the accident, I wouldn't have been late. I would have left early. If only I knew, or if only I had known that the policeman was there, I wouldn't have gotten the ticket. If only I had received the diagnosis earlier, I would have been able to avoid chemo and the treatments that they had me going. I could have done something less invasive. There's so much that we don't know. But there's nothing that God doesn't know. God knows everything, my friend. So are you going to keep fighting in blindness? Or are you going to hold to His hand? Can we stand together? I've come to tell you that you don't know what you will face tomorrow. So you need to make a decision today, now. Just as the blind man did. Grab a hold of the hand of Jesus. Put your life in His hands. And say it. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But I do know the One that holds all of my tomorrows in His hands. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But I know that God has tomorrow planned out for me. I don't know when I'll draw my last breath. But God is the One that gave me my first breath. And He's going to take the last one that I have. I don't know. I want to make this one final comparison between those that are willfully blind and those that are desperate for sight. My friend, you should be desperate to see today. Desperate to see clearly today. In Matthew 15:12, it says, "Then came His disciples and said unto Him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But He answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up." And then He says this, and this is sad to me. "Pastor, this makes me afraid. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leave the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Not for myself, but for others, for anybody in the sound of my voice that would just ignore the healer, that would just ignore the voice of Jesus today. That terrifies me, that you could be lost. You could fall into a ditch. I don't want to respond to the words of Jesus by being critical or by saying, I don't need all of that. I don't want to ignore the voice of God. But I want you to see the difference here. I'm not going to bother you. Jesus says, let them alone. If you don't want to see, I can't open your eyes. If you don't want to have the scales removed, the blinders taken off, there's nothing I can do for you. But look at this. Jesus said, let them alone that are willfully blind. But He commanded them to bring blind Bartimaeus to Him directly. Look at the difference here. It's in Mark 10, verse 46. "And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." I want you to get ready to position your heart in the way that blind Bartimaeus did. Get ready to do what blind Bartimaeus did if you want to receive sight today. Verse 47, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him, Pastor, that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Amen. If you will not let the naysayers keep you quiet, if you will not let the enemy lie to you and tell you that God can't do it, if you'll not let anybody or anything stop you from reaching Jesus today, he calls. He's calling you right now. Come to this altar. Come and pray. If you're not comfortable coming to the altar, cry out right where you are. Doesn't matter. He will call you. Hallelujah. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Can some of us today just speak up to the Lord and say, God, you see what I need. Lord, I need my sight today, God. I need my heart to be open today, God. Hallelujah. Come on and pray with one another. Love Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hallelujah. Let's follow him today. Hallelujah. Cry out to him today. Jesus. Jesus, touch my blindness, God. Jesus, I don't want to leave the way I came, God. Jesus, change my heart today. Jesus, touch my heart today. Jesus, open the eyes of my heart this morning. Hallelujah, God. Oh, hallelujah, God. I know it makes us uncomfortable, but Jesus is here to heal us. Open up our blinded eyes, God. Open up our blinded eyes, Jesus. Oh, yes, God.